unconditional love. And I think, honestly, to understand what unconditional love means, you need to understand what the word conditioned means. What does the word of conditioned mean? Well, it means that we as people, we've been trained. We've formed habits determined by circumstance, learned behaviors. We've learned responses, automatic reactions. Condition, someone who's been trained or influenced to act a certain way without even thinking. Condition, objects or people who are prepared, adjusted for a specific purpose. Condition, most conditions, most common condition that people face is called classical condition. Classical condition, which includes emotional responses where we associate specific places, smells, songs with past experiences. In order to understand God's unconditional love, we have to sometimes take a step back and think, what is the opposite of unconditional love? It's conditional love. And this is conditional love is what we're all used to. What is the most popular one? It is called classical conditioning, which is an emotional response. Because how many of us have ever had an emotional response associated with a place, with a smell, with a song from past experiences? Fear, developing instantly on automatic fear reaction, something that is stimulated in our brain based on a past negative experience. Classical conditioning. Advertising, consumer behavior, brands, products, pairing with music or imagery to create positive, automatic feelings that makes people want to open their wallets. Classical conditioning, a biological response. Feeling hungry. It's 12 o'clock. I got to eat at 12 sharp. Regardless, have any one of us ever ate food because it's lunchtime, whether our body was hungry or not? Why? Because we're conditioned. Lunch is at 12, dinner is at 6. We are so conditioned every single day, 24/7. There are so many different feelings, fears, emotions, hunger pains that we go through every day. Why? It's not because of ourselves. It's because what we've been conditioned to. Operating, conditioning, learning by consequences. Social norms today. People constantly are being conditioned to behave a certain way so that they can fit into life. Good behavior. It's reinforced with praise, social approval. While breaking the norm leads to criticism or exclusion. Workplace and school, we see that if you perform in like a sales company that I work for, you get bonuses. We see it in the school place. If you have good grades, you get little stars, you get a pass class, and you get to graduate one day. We have been conditioned on the performance of life. If you perform, there's something good on the other side. If you're a good boy, something good is going to happen. If you're a good girl, something good is going to happen. We've been conditioned by technology, social media. Who and what is the maker? Who and what is designing to what? They keep users engaged. Society, cultural conditioning, gender roles that start at a young age. We are conditioned to act a certain way based on our genders. Consumers, people conditioned by what I can purchase. What I can purchase, what I can afford to purchase, dictates my happiness and success and image in life. Young people today, what is the most common conditioning they deal with? There is a relentless algorithm, a driven pressure from social media, which dictates this is the body image you need to have, the social status you need to have, here's your self-worth and gender status. Most every single young person on this planet, the common condition that they deal with is a relentless algorithm in their brain, driven by pressure, by social media, friends, dictating this is, should be your body image, this should be your social status, this is your self-worth and your gender, which leads to a lot of kids having FOMO. What is FOMO? It's the fear of missing out. Well, if I don't do this, I might miss out. If I don't go to the party, I might miss out. Again, conditioned, teenagers being conditioned with FOMO, the fear of missing out. So I need to screw up. I need to make mistakes. I need to choose to do bad things because I'll miss out, because they've been conditioned. Exposure to being filtered through edited images of everything, leading to so many unhappy lives. What kids don't realize and what adults don't realize, there are so many things in life that has been edited and filtered, but it put in front of you so that they can condition what you do every single day. The way that you think, the way that you live your, we live our life. Today, there's a media overload. There's a news overload. What people are expecting of me, overload. What am I expecting of myself, overload. What or who have I portrayed? Keeping up with that image, it's an overload. The most common condition that adults are facing today, social, cultural conditioning, digital with tech, conditioning, classical conditioning, operating in the background, influencing behavior, belief, consumption. There is darkness. There is light. There is evil. There is good. There is God. There is the devil. All who seek to program, to condition, understanding that every condition comes from a source. To understand God's unconditional love, understand we've been born into a conditional life. The problem and the challenge is, who have we allowed to condition us to the life that we become used to program our life? God or the devil, light or darkness, truth or lies? With that, we open with our beginning text, which is Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room. Even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. They lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Verse 5. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, and so he asked them, Why do you question this in your heart? Verse 9, is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk"? But I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." The man jumped up. He grabbed his mat. He walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." And so this morning, as we look at this real life example, this real story that happened when Jesus was on the earth, we break it down to see, number one, conditioning begins at a very young age. It begins very, very young. From the time that we're born, condition begins on every single human individual. And from a young age, many of us have been conditioned to treat people the way we treat ourselves based on family, image, status, health, hobbies, school, work, the vocab that we use. In this text today, we see that there are different types of groups of people that are going to be outlined through the word condition. So we see a paralyzed man. We see that there are four men that are being described. There's Jesus, there's the religious, and then there's the crowds of people. And so as we break it down through the eyes and through the lens of the word condition, we see a paralyzed man, a condition that forced him to live on a mat, unable to move, unable to be on his own, unable to walk, unable to live every day, to have a job, provide for a family, unable to live like most of the people. He lived a life at this moment that was stuck. It was stuck relying on other people to have to pick up, to be carried to go anywhere. Whether it was by birth, whether it was by accident, whether it was by family or friends who beat him, whether it was by some horrible tragic circumstance like a horse kicking him and made him handicapped, whether it was by food, something that he ate or drank, something that consumed in his body that caused him to become paralyzed. We don't know. But this man, we know, he was a paralyzed man. He was a stuck man. And now he had to live a life of being stuck. Paralyzed mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually. This man in the story, luckily, the end of his life we see, or the end of the story, that he found freedom. And it wasn't any kind of freedom. It was 100% freedom. He was given 100% a new life. But what I want to present to you this morning is, see, many of us, as we come to God or as we find truth, we don't accept all the truth, and so there's a portion of us that still stays paralyzed. How many of us ask God into our heart? How many of us ask God to come in our life, but there were still things in our life that we struggled with, that we're paralyzed with? A deer in the headlights is what? When a deer sees headlights coming, it gets stuck, it freezes. Many people spiritually still live this way. Not like this man. The man at the end of the story, he was 100% freed. What I would present today, most of us sometimes, we don't want the 100% freedom because we become accustomed to the mat that we lie on. We don't want 100% God's freedom, his light illuminating our souls, that we may turn, that we may find freedom, because we become comfortable with the mat that we live on. The story describes four men, friends, family, everyday neighbors, we don't know. But these four men carried this man. Maybe it was just today. Maybe just because there was a healing crusade that was in town. Maybe it was because they switched, they took turns. We don't know why. But there was four men who decided on this very day they're going to carry this man to Jesus Christ. We as people, we've been conditioned. And what we've been conditioned to is, who are we carrying in this life and who has carried us? If we were to honestly think in our heads and our minds this morning, every one of us, at some point, we have been conditioned and we have been carried by somebody and we have carried somebody else. Just like these four men, they carried this man. Where did they carry him to? They carried him to the source of life, to freedom and eternity. These four men, they didn't give up on any part of the journey. They gave their time, they gave their effort, they gave their energy, they gave their life to see everything through till the end. For this man to find freedom, 100% freedom in Jesus Christ. And so if we've been conditioned in life, naturally we love connection, we love human connection and friendships and family. And there are times in life, in friendship and family, there's times in the workplace where we have to carry more of the workload. How many of us have seen through conditioning, what am I carrying, who am I carrying, and who's carried me? And who have I carried, what have I brought them to? Who are the people that are on my boat, and what have I brought them to? The people that have carried me, the people that have conditioned me, what have they brought me and led me to? Because unfortunately, sometimes as parents, we pass along things to our kids that are unhelpful. Sometimes as parents, sometimes as family members, we pass on to other people things that are not very helpful, things that are not good. Social media, most of it is junk. The things that get absorbed on phones, most of it, not all of it, most of it is not good. What have we allowed? Jesus described, he said, listen, he says, our eyes are the doorway into our soul, and the things that we allow sometimes into our life. He said, many people, they don't realize, they think they're absorbing light, but they're really absorbing darkness. What have we allowed others to condition us to, and what have we conditioned other people without even really realizing it? These four men, they carried this man, and they led him all the way to eternity. We see Jesus in the story, the source of life, hope, peace, freedom. We see that Jesus, as soon as he sees the energy, the passion that these four men had, because they brought this guy who was sick. They heard Jesus was in town. So what did they do? They wanted to bring their friend. They wanted to bring their nephew. They wanted to bring their cousin. They wanted to bring their neighbor to Jesus Christ. And so when they brought this man to where Jesus was, the house was too full. House was too crowded. Sometimes that feeling, I don't know if you ever had that feeling, sometimes you call it being claustrophobic, when you walk into a space, and maybe it's big, but there's a lot of people, so people feel claustrophobic. How many of us ever walked into a tight space? Maybe it's an elevator. It's only like 6 feet by 4 feet. And how many of us have ever had that feeling of being claustrophobic? And everything tightens up, and everything gets intense. How many of us have ever had intense feelings or situations where you wake, you walk into a space? For these men, they took this man to a house and it was full. It was claustrophobic. I can't get through. There's no way. All that we hoped for our friend, all that we hoped for to get him, we can't. But they didn't give up. They said, you know what? We're going to find another way. See, many of us, if we look at our spiritual life, we ask ourselves, God has put us here like Jesus. What did he say at the end? It is finished. He did what God asked him to do. And God, every single one of us in humanity, he asked us to do something. But how many of us, if we related to this story, we would stop at that point where the house is full? There's enough people in there. He's probably healing all of them, so he's not going to heal our friend. How many of us, we start making excuses when we get close to doing, close to being, close to having some breakthrough, close to breaking a habit, close to breaking negativity in our head, close to breaking a thought that we shouldn't have. We get so close, but they say, maybe another day. Next week. How many of us give up so easily on what God has put us here to do? Instead of being like the four men, it is finished. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on myself. I'm not giving up on my friend. I'm going to find and I'm going to make sure my friend finds Jesus. I'm going to make sure that this guy who's paralyzed, he finds healing. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep praying until I see something happen. I'm not going to keep up giving. I'm not going to stop giving until I see something happen. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep having faith until something happens. Jesus sees the faith of the four men as they carry him upstairs, as they take apart part of the roof, as they lower this paralyzed man down. Jesus sees them, and the first thing he says, man, your faith has caused a miracle right now. Your faith, all that you were willing to do, all that you were willing to go through, all that you were willing to sacrifice, all that you were willing to carry the weight of this person, I see your faith. And because you had the faith to carry someone, because you had the faith to be able to carry the weight, like dead weight. How many of us have ever touched something that has died and becomes more stiff and heavy? Sometimes people in our life are like dead people, like zombies, stiff, dead, and heavy. God's asking us, what is he? He's the resurrection and the life. To hang in there, to keep it up, to keep carrying, to keep pursuing, to keep believing. If we have to, because the house is full, carry him up to the roof. Get him to Jesus with everything that we have within us. These four men, they did what needed to happen so that this man could be healed. Jesus, seeing their faith, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And we know what I love about this story? After all the time, after all the energy they placed in getting this man healed, what was the first thing Jesus said? You know what they wanted to hear? You know what the expectations of the four men and the man on the mat were? You're healed, right? The very first thing they wanted to hear is, you're healed. Jesus grabbed the man by the hand and pulling him up, and he's set free, and hallelujah, and they're dancing, doing cartwheels. And it's so amazing. That's what the expectations were. We're going to get to Jesus, and he's going to heal you right away. But what was the very first thing that Jesus had to deal with? He had to deal with sin. And he said to the boy, the young man, your sin, it's been forgiven. But we forget every single day. What we fail to see, what we forget, sometimes we ignore, is sin is always the greatest issue. It's not health, it's not money, it's not family, it's not friends, it's not our neighbors, it's not the economy, it's not the government, it's not the war, it's not Iran, it's not Russia, it's not China. What we fail to see every single day in humanity, what is the greatest issue? It is sin. And what is sin? Sin is a rebellion against God and his word. Sin is a rebellion against God and his word. And what does sin do? Well, sin kills. Sin separates our hearts from light, from Jesus. Sin destroys. And without realizing it, sin will always bring death. Sin will always bring darkness. See, what most of humanity doesn't understand, to truly be healed, healthy, and whole, sin needs to be dealt with first. Sin needs to be dealt with first. Jesus forgave the man, but he started healing him, where? From the inside out. Jesus started healing, but he started the healing process from the inside out. Son, your sin, whatever it may be, laziness, greed, selfishness, self-centered, lust. We don't know what it was, but this man's sin at that moment was forgiven and cleansed, and his heart started healing from the inside out. Something started to change. And I love how God did this first. I love how God dealt with sin first, because you know what it was? Maybe he also had to deal with expectations. Because sometimes our expectations, they are such a killer. Because again, we've been so conditioned. 24/7. This is what I want. This is when I want it. And if I don't get what I want, when I want it, this is what needs to be met. This is what needs to be felt. All these expectations we all have as people. And what we fail to see is God meets every one of our expectations. It just might be different than what we think and see and feel in the moment, in the minute, and in the moment. Jesus, he turns to the man, he says, your sins are forgiven. People start complaining, and then he looks at the guy and says, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. See, his heart, it still took faith at that moment for him to pick up his own mat. He had to stand up, and he hadn't stood. We don't know for how long. He maybe hadn't stand up for maybe 20 years. Maybe it's been 10 years, maybe it's 5, maybe it's been a week. We don't know, but he maybe did not remember what it felt like to stand up. He probably didn't remember what it felt like to pick up his own mat, to roll it up, and to go. He had no idea. It took the faith of four other men to get him to that point. It took Jesus healing his heart from the inside out for his heart to have the faith to be able to stand. And when Jesus said, stand up, his heart still needed the faith to stand up. When Jesus said, pick up your mat, his heart still needed the faith to pick up the mat. When he said to go home, he still had to have the faith to go home and now explain to every single person that he knew, this is what has happened to me. And the greater issue wasn't that he got healed physically. It was that his sin in his heart had been healed, cleansed, and whole. We know that Jesus said, and it probably baffles many people, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to your mountains in your life and you can say, be gone, be uprooted. Faith as small as a mustard seed. Jesus said, you can pray for anything in my name and it will be done. Well, how many of us have ever prayed for something and nothing happened? How many of us have prayed for someone who was sick and they didn't get healed? How many of us have prayed for a broke person and they didn't become rich? They weren't provided for. How many of us prayed that God would change somebody else? We didn't see anything change in somebody else. How many of us have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, but nothing happened? When Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it'll happen. So if we prayed and nothing happened, does that mean that our faith was smaller than a mustard seed? Or maybe we're praying for the wrong thing. Maybe we're praying for the wrong person. Maybe there's things in our life that we should be praying for, but instead we're praying for something different. He wanted to be healed, but he found a spiritual healing first. There's only something God can do. There's only something Jesus can do. There's only something the Holy Spirit can do. We see in our story today that there was religious people who were here in this minute. These religious people represent people who are conditioned, jealous, insecure, constantly complaining, bickering, pointing fingers at Jesus. Constantly looking at other people and saying, if you don't join our clique, if you don't be like us, or else. Religious people, they were so upset with Jesus because he didn't look like them. He didn't talk like them. He didn't live with them and hang out with them. He didn't eat what they ate. He didn't live where they live. Jesus was the complete opposite of the religious. And so the religious people, they were conditioned. The religion, the teaching, the strict rules that they grew up with, they did not see the truth and the Savior of the world because of their religious conditioning. There are people all around the world today. They say they believe. Some people go to church. Some people, unfortunately, they grew up religious and not having a relationship with God. Condition. So we see a paralyzed man who is conditioned. We see his friends who are conditioned. We see Jesus who is the Son of God. We see the religious who are conditioned. And then we see the crowd of people, this group of people who watched a very cool miracle. There was a paralyzed man. He couldn't move. He'd be carried every single day. The people who were standing there, they got to see and witness this miracle of God. Because they were simply there at the right moment, the right time. This people, conditioned. Because how many of us know, how many of you ever felt like, there's somebody watching? There's somebody watching right now. They're watching. And so how many people, sometimes they change what they think, they change what they feel because somebody's watching. Oh, should I change what I'm wearing? Should I change what I'm saying? Should I change what I'm doing? Because they're watching. The hills have eyes, right? How many of us have ever felt like there's somebody always who's watching? This morning, our topic and our theme for the month is unconditional love. God's unconditional love, because it leads us into Resurrection Sunday. The greatest love story ever told. The greatest love moment. No greater love, no greater love, no greater love than a person who lays down their life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us when we were broken, when we're lost, when we had our backs turned to him. Jesus laid down his life. This is unconditional love. And what sometimes what we forget to understand, what unconditional love is, to understand where we've been conditioned. Our title today, Condition, because where is it we've been conditioned? If we're honest, where did our parents condition us? What did they condition us to? Where did society, where did culture, now where social media, what have I been conditioned to? My program responses because of the condition that has been in my life. And so as we kind of start to wrap up, we go to our last text, and that's Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Luke 15:11. Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed. Let's divide the wealth between the sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, the money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. The man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked so good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I'm going to go home to my father and say, Father, I sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. Verse 20. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love, compassion, he ran to his son, he embraced him, he kissed him. He said to his son, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Verse 23, kill the calf. We're going to have filet mignon. The calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast. For the son of mine was dead, and now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. The party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. It was a party. 26, he asked one of the servants, What's going on? Your brother is back, he was told. Your father killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry, and he wouldn't go in. His father came and begged him. 29. All these years, I've been a slave for you. All these years, I've been a slave for you. And never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf? His father said to him, Dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, because this brother was dead, but he's come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And so this morning, as we look through this second story in our second text, through the eyes of condition, we see number one, there was a rebellious son. How does God look at the word rebellion? We know 1 Samuel says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. When we think of witchcraft, we're thinking of witches on a broom and they're flying around casting spells, right? Witchcraft, darkness, worship of the devil, horrible, despicable things, sorcery, people who read cards and try and talk to demons. Rebellion. And what is rebellion? It's turning away purposely from the truth. Rebellion, turning away. I know I should do this, but I'm going to decide to do this. I should be loving here, but I'm deciding to be angry and hateful instead. I should be forgiving, but I'm going to be unforgiving instead. The son that's being described in the text here that was a rebellious son, he wanted to take his inheritance, and he wanted to spend it, and he wanted to live and to do whatever he wanted. What we don't understand, and it's so hard sometimes, if we picture this story through the word of conditioning, you have a rebellious son, you have the father, and you have the other son who was faithful. But what we don't see is the devil and the demons who were influencing the rebellious son. What we don't see, what we don't hear in the text, what we don't hear in the story, spiritually, there were devils and there was demons who influenced this young man to turn his back on his father. Condition. We're all being conditioned. Whether it's by the world, devil, demons, friends, family, we're all being conditioned this morning, whether it's social media, images, what we think we are, what others tell us we are, we're all being conditioned. And some are taking in that conditioning and they're rebelling against the source of life. Because there's an image I have to live up to. There's an image of what I'm chasing, what I think I want, what I think I need. I have to live by this image. So many people live by the image of perfection. If everything isn't perfect, if everything isn't right, if it's not 100% correct, oh man, the world's coming to an end. Conditioned. Condition. And so we see a rebellious son who turned his back and his heart against the father. Then we see the faithful son. What did he do? He stayed with his dad every single day. He worked for him. Whatever dad asked him to do, he did. He was faithful. But when his son came back, what happened? He gets angry because the father was being kind to the son who was rebellious. Condition. The young man was conditioned. He was jealous and he was angry because why? He started comparing his life to other people. And how come I didn't get? How come I didn't get? Why are you blessing that person and not blessing me? Why are you being nice to that person and you're not being nice and kind to me? How do I feel? How do I feel right now? That you're spoiling this brother over me. You're spoiling this sister over me. You're spoiling this employee over me. You're spoiling this person over me. When I've been faithful. How many Christians say this to God every day? God, I've been faithful. I read your word every day. I pray every day. I worship. But why does it seem like you're not answering my prayers? The son in this story who got angry. Why? Because he started comparing what other people had to what he himself had. He could not see that he already had it all. This son in the story, he couldn't see. He already had everything. He had everything. But what did he do? He got angry. Because the father decided to bless somebody else. Conditioned. We think of the word conditioned. The theme, unconditional love, the topic today, being conditioned. Because we find ourselves through two stories, paralyzed, stuck, friends, four men who helped somebody out to the very end, Jesus, the light of the world, the religious, the crowds of people who just were part of the story and got to be a part of the miracle. Through the prodigal son, we see a rebellious son, angry, bitter. I want to get as far away from you as I possibly can. God, Dad, I want to get away from you as far as I can. I don't like who you are. I don't like being at home anymore. I want to run away. And then we see the other son, the faithful son, who tried to give his very best. But in this minute, he loses it because he started comparing his life to his brother. Condition. Can we see this morning that we're all conditioned? Somewhere through every single person that we described this morning, every single one of them was conditioned. Every one of us has been conditioned. And the question is, what have I been conditioned to? Who have I been conditioned to be? Who have I conditioned myself? It's not, because when we stand before God, it does not matter. It doesn't matter other people's sins. It doesn't matter other people's faults. It doesn't matter where other people screw up. The thing that you have to answer to God about is what and who you allowed, what I allowed to condition me. What have I allowed to condition me? Who, what have I allowed, conditioned me? And so unfortunately we see the faithful son in the story started to complain, started to compare, and he lost it. And then thirdly we see the unconditional love part of the story. Because the father described in the story, he gave half of his money away to a son who went and dumped and trashed it all basically. Let's take all of our bank accounts this morning and let's go take out the money in the ATM and let's go throw it in the trash. It's basically what happened. This father gives half of his money away, half to the son. But what did he do? Every single day he waited patiently for the son to come back, hoping. Have you ever heard of the glass is half full? Having hope. Seeing positively that this boy one day thinking he's going to come home. See, that's what God thinks about every one of us every single day. If we're ever paralyzed in any part of our life, God every single day is saying, I'm believing for their freedom in this part of their life. I'm believing for the freedom in this part of their life. The Father waited patiently every single day. And the Bible says, listen, does it seem like Jesus' return is taking a long time? Is he just stalling? Is he just hanging out in heaven saying, I'm going to come back whenever I feel like? No, it says God's coming back and he's being patient because he wants everyone to return to him. He doesn't want to leave anybody out. He wants people to go to heaven. He doesn't want to see people burn in hell. God's different than us because there's people that we know, people that we've met in our past who would say, I hope they burn in hell. That's not God. God has all love and compassion on every single person on this planet. And so we see the Father being described as God, waiting patiently every single day. We see the Father being described as a man who runs to the Son, given this image of being ridiculous, given an image of looking stupid. What depth, how far have we gone to show love to another person? Would we be willing to look stupid? Would we be willing to look foolish to show love? This is what the Father is described in the story to do. God, the Father, being described as giving his very best to his Son in this story. He takes his robe out of the house, which is the very most expensive piece of clothing in the house, and he puts it on his Son. He takes a ring and gives it to his Son because he gives him authority. He takes sandals because he says, you're not a slave, you're my Son. Everything that the Father was willing to give to this rebellious Son in our text this morning, conditioned. A rebellious son, a faithful son who lost it at the end. And then God our Father. See, we're all being conditioned. It's who or what do we allow to condition us from death to life. So as we get ready to close, as we get ready to wrap up this morning, I love this video and I love the description of going from death to life. And in order to go from death to life, in order to see the resurrection and the life, in order to see Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, in order to see Jesus as the gate for the sheep, in order to see Jesus as the bread of heaven, the bread of life, in order to see Jesus as being the vine and we're his branches, in order to see Jesus for all that he is, it takes the story of the paralyzed man. And is there any part of us in our life we want to cling to the mat of comfortable? We want to cling to a little bit of fear because we think it's natural. We want to cling to a little bit of greed because we think it's okay. We want to cling to a little bit of worry when Jesus said, don't worry. We want to cling to a little bit of hate instead of love because we think it's normal to have a little hate. Some things in our life, I think this morning, we don't realize it's caused us to be stuck and paralyzed instead of being completely free like the man in the story. Why? Because we've been conditioned. Because we've been conditioned. I said my topic today was condition, but it's really not. My topic is reconditioned because that's what God came to do, bring death to life and to recondition us. He said, anyone who believes in me will become a completely brand new person. The Bible says we're all born in sin. We're all born in darkness. We're all born broken. And if we're not willing to admit we have sin, if we're not willing to admit there's darkness, if we're not willing to admit we make mistakes, if you're not willing to admit the imperfections you were born with, then you remain paralyzed, conditioned. Because sometimes we think some of our imperfections, it's just a natural, normal part of life. But what if the imperfections, they seem little? I'm not hurting anybody with my imperfections. No one sees the imperfections. No one sees, maybe in humanity, but you know who does see? God sees our imperfections. God sees sin. God sees brokenness. And what does sin do? It will destroy us from the inside out. The paralyzed man in this story, he found health and he was moved from death to life. This morning, As we get ready to pray, only God alone can meet and fill and heal and deliver, set me free to guide my heart, every heart. Only God alone can meet, lead, guide, heal, save, deliver, set free. Only Jesus alone can lead my heart where it needs to be. And it takes godly friends, and it takes coming to church, it takes reading God's word, it takes singing songs that inspire us to look up instead of looking down or look around. It takes words to listen to that inspire us, that every one of us, we have to be reconditioned. Today, as we get ready to leave, we all walk out of here and we can make a choice. Jesus said, when I come back, people will be living their life. They're going to be going to parties. They're going to be going to banquets. They're going to be working their jobs. They're going to be so consumed with living because FOMO, how many people in the population are consumed with FOMO? Fear of missing out. People are living. But you know, as people are living, they're also dying and they don't realize it. Jesus said, I'm coming back. And if you're living with fear of missing out, if you're choosing sin over what's doing what's right, you're going to miss the boat. You're going to miss the boat. All of us, it doesn't matter. We all were conditioned. But God, thank God, every single day, He gives us the opportunity to be what? Reconditioned. Reconditioned. Let's pray.